Hey, Susie, tell everyone about the Ultimate Opportunity Savings Account.
Listen up, everybody. If you want to start the best savings account out there, all you have to do is go to MyAlliant, Alliant.com, open up an account, put in $100 a month every single month for 12 consecutive months, and guess what? At the end of that time, Alliant will give you $100. And while the money's in there, you're going to be earning about 3%. It is the best way for you to save. And while you're there, why not take the Stay Smart in 24 quiz? Yeah, everybody. Susie Orman here, and you are listening to the Women in Money podcast. Now, this is not your ordinary money podcast, for there is nothing that I do that is ordinary. So if you want to be the powerful woman that you were born to be in every aspect of your life, then you have come to the right place. We are strong. And today's podcast is a conversation with a woman by the name of Lisa Lott. Lisa Lott is a survivor of domestic abuse, financial abuse, physical abuse, all kinds of abuse. And as you may know, this is a passion of mine because why? One out of four women in the United States of America suffer from financial abuse. And every single one of them that I have ever talked to got in it the same way. They met somebody. They loved this person because this person was so nice to them, gave them everything they wanted. They moved in together. Even though Lisa Lott, as you'll see in this episode, had a job, was doing great. She was working everything. Eventually, the abuser always asks for you to quit your job. They promise you the world. And as soon as you do not have any money on your own and now you are stuck, that's when they go to town. So take a listen to this story directly from Lisa Lott. Lisa Lott, number one, thank you for coming to want to share your story. And I've read a little bit about what's happened to you. And you know what I find fascinating is that you went through years with your husband as, you know, as an abusive relationship when it came to financial abuse.
Yes.
But it wasn't until he became physically abusive with you that you had what it took to leave right away. So shed some light on this for us.
Okay. Everything started when I met this guy in Dominican Republic, where I'm from. He is 19 years old, older than me. So when I met him, he was so pending about what is going on with me, helping me to make decisions. And he's something, someone that knows what he wants.
Or you thought.
Exactly, that's what I thought. It's somebody mature, more than me. He was so demanding. For example, he asked me to marry, and then we prepared the wedding in 3 weeks because he told me he wants me to be here with him. And then that's the way to get my resident, the green card, and yes, then I can live here, work, and make a future together. When I moved to USA from the DR, I started working on April 2013, and we decided to save money together. So I was putting most of my income in a safety deposit box at home. So at the beginning—
Was it the box locked?
Exactly, yes. With the password, not with the key. At the beginning, I saw the money. Everything was good. We have a good relationship. But he tried to manipulate me. He started telling me, and how you have to wear this skirt, not too short. I'm not talking about short skirts. Wear a jeans, it's better for you. He started with that kind of manipulation, but I didn't put attention to that red flag because I was in love with him. So when I get pregnant and he starts telling me that I look ugly, you are getting fat, I don't know, you are not the same person that I met before, and I don't know if I'm still in love with you with this pregnancy.
And when he would say these things to you, what would you think?
I think that he was right. Yes.
So wait. He told you you were ugly, you were fat, you're not the same woman, and you would look at yourself and go, you're right.
Yeah. Not right away, because it was a process. As soon as I was gained, you know, weight, and then I believe on his words.
So, Lislot, one of the main warning signs that you would tell women is that as soon as your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend start to control you, they start to degrade how you look, how you act, how you are. They're controlling. Why do you have to do this? Why do you have to do that? This is what you should wear. Is that a main flag that everybody should pay attention to?
Of course, it is. Yeah, because they never start hitting you. They start little by little, probably trying to get your self-esteem lower, trying to make you feel that you are not good enough. And this is a process. This person is playing games with your mind. And then when I get married with a newborn, he asked me to resign from my job to stay home with my daughter for her well-being, and then he will take care of the bills.
And did you?
I did.
And when he asked you to stay home with your daughter to take care of her and he would take care of the bills, did he take care of the bills?
No, he didn't. I had to ask to my family for money to pay my cell phone, to buy groceries, to buy diapers, to buy things that I need. What he did, he used to buy takeouts from restaurants just for him. So it was a difficult time without savings, because after that, when I asked him for money and the money that I saved, right, he told me the truth. He lost all of the money in gambling.
So the money that you put into the safety deposit box that had a combination on,
exactly,
that you originally would see the money go in there, did he change the combination?
Yes, of course. So he told me, oh, you know what? I spent all the money in the casino.
So he had a gambling addiction.
Exactly.
How much did you put into that little safety deposit
box?
$12,000. You put
in 1 year working.
12. You were able to save out of your own money. What did you do?
I work in an insurance brokerage office.
Do you have a degree?
Yes.
What do you have?
I have a bachelor degree in marketing, and I have an MBA in business from Spain.
So here you are, this educated woman, self-reliant woman, able to save $12,000, yet you couldn't see the situation that you were in. When I say that to you, how does that make you feel?
Right now, make me feel, oh my God, I opened my eyes. That's what I think now. But at that moment, I was so disturbed. I didn't know what to do. Oh my God, that was like something too strong for me to figure it out then.
What made you open your eyes?
When he told me he spent all the money. And then when I asked him and I was so upset, you know what? I can hit you with this belt. And he did it. Like, you are my child, you know? I don't know if, because he's 19 years older than me, he thought that he was like my daddy.
So he took his belt off and he whipped you?
Yes.
Like he spanked you?
Yeah. Like if I did something wrong and I was a child, you know? And he did this thing with my daughter in his arms. So I cried and I tried to calm him because my daughter, I was more concerned about her. You know, I tried to calm him and I told him, let's fix everything. And then I wait like 1 hour to make sure. And then I can just took my baby in my arm and I run. I left the passport, my IDs, everything.
So
right after
he hit you, you took your baby and you ran out the door.
Yeah, 1 hour later.
Where was he when you ran?
He was in the kitchen. I was praying a lot. Oh God, help me. Let me find a way to get out from here. And he was in the kitchen, and probably he thought that I wanna leave him, because at that moment I didn't have job, no savings, no family here, you know?
And you left. That took courage.
Mm-hmm.
You walk out the door with your daughter, no clothes,
no
identification, absolutely nothing, no money. Where did you go?
I took a cab and I went to my friend's house.
And did you ask your friend for money to pay for the cab?
Yes. Yes, she helped me a lot. I was there for 3 days because I went to a police precinct to make a report. And the police officer gave me a car. And he told me, go to that place and ask for help. And then I requested for help. And they gave me a shelter for me and my daughter. It was a nice place. And I feel safe. And I feel that I can start over.
And did you ever have contact with him again?
Yes, because he's my daughter's father.
Do your daughter still see him now?
Yes. At the beginning, I used to drop off my daughter in a police precinct. It was for 1 year. We did that every 2 weeks.
And today, when you drop off your daughter with him, are you afraid that one day he'll disappear with her?
No.
No?
Not anymore.
Why not?
Probably because his abuse was just for me, not for her. He loves her, and actually he has his own life. He has someone. He has, you know, a wife. And
does he on any level contribute financially?
Not right now. What I'm receiving for child support is $50 per month. Can you believe that?
No. But I can believe it. So how are you making it now? How do you make it financially?
I'm working. I work in a properties management office.
Yes.
So I try to do my budget, keep my eyes on my money. This is an opportunity for me to start over, to build my life again, to help other women that probably they don't know that they are living under abuse.
Which was worse, the physical abuse, the one-time hit with the whip, or the financial abuse?
The first one was verbal and emotional.
And that was the worst.
Exactly. The finance abuse happened before, but I didn't know. So
what is that about? Do you know that every one of you, even 20 years after it's been over, you've just realized you had financial abuse?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if financial abuse doesn't even exist until you realize somebody else tells you, oh, you were abused financially. What do you think that's about?
For example, in my case, I figured it out when I asked him for the money. He told me, I spent all the money. So the financial abuse, it was happening before. When I figured it out, the physical abuse and the financial was the same day.
So the worst for you was the verbal and the emotional, then the financial, then the physical. Don't you find that fascinating? Because most people think it's only an abusive relationship if it's physical.
Yes.
And the true damage, at least in my opinion, is that which you cannot see. Do you feel that you've overcome that damage now?
I did.
And what allowed you to be able to do that?
First of all, my self-esteem and my daughter. That's not the kind of life that I want for me. And I don't want that kind of life for my daughter.
And what would be the final message that you would want all the women watching this to know?
Yes, I can tell them, be aware of the red flags. And don't try to help somebody when you are not helping yourself.
I love that. And what would you tell them about money?
Oh, keep your eyes in your money.
Keep your eyes
in your money, because I trust 100% in another person, and I didn't put attention in my money because I trust on him. Now I'm always checking my accounts and everything that I have.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love you, girlfriend.
Remember,
If you are being abused or you know someone who is being abused, please reach out to the National Domestic Violence Hotline or Purple Purse. Or write me here at AskSusiePodcast@gmail.com.
Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman is acting as a certified financial planner, advisor, a certified financial analyst, an economist, CPA, accountant, or lawyer. Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman make any recommendations as to any specific securities or investments. All content contained in this podcast is for informational and general purposes only and does not constitute financial accounting or legal advice. You should consult your own tax, legal, and financial advisors regarding your particular situation. Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman accepts any responsibility for any losses which may arise from accessing or reliance on information in this podcast. And to the fullest extent permitted by law, we exclude all liability for loss, damages, direct or indirect, arising from the use of this information. The must-have documents discussed in this podcast are legal documents created by a lawyer and distributed by Hay House.